short memories, especially when things are difficult and are not going well. I was reminded of that just a few weeks back. I was reading in the sports section of the Eagle about Wichita State's baseball team and Gene Stephenson, and you know, a couple rough years, and you know, these last couple years. And so, what's the future hold? Talk about whether you know his contract would be renewed after this year if it doesn't go so well. And I was struck by that because I remember, you know, just a few years back when he was considered. Well, he did sign to go to OU for part of a day. And how, you know, people were, you know, how could he do this, you know, being abandoned. And so everyone recognized how wonderful he had been and how much he had done, how he had led Wichita out of Egypt, okay, through the Red Sea, to the Promised Land. And so quickly, you know, well, you know, things aren't going so well. Maybe, you know, he just doesn't really have it anymore. You're kind of quickly forgetting the past. And here's someone who had, you know, 75% winning percentage, 7 College World Series, 2nd most winningest coach in NCAA history. And I do notice that there's a sports writer for the Wichita Eagle here to check my facts, so make sure I'm on top of it. So a short memory, especially when things get difficult. Well, the Israelites were not much different than we are today, because their memories were very short when it came to what God had done for them. So the first reading is a continuation of the salvation history story. And so the Israelites were in slavery for 440 years. Long time, right? And the plan of God to save them begins to unfold, because Moses' life is intercepted by God, who manifests himself in the burning bush, okay? And so God sets forth his vocation and mission to deliver the people from Egypt. So it's set, the plan is set in motion, you might say. And so he goes, and we hear a summary of that saving event, the Exodus story, from Paul in the letter to the Corinthians. And he talks about how all of the people saw the wonderful saving events that God did, how all of the people saw how God delivered them out of Egypt from the hands of their oppressors, how they had been delivered through the Red Sea. We've all, you know, remember the movie The Ten Commandments? Moses, Charlton Heston, okay, opening the Red Sea there, very impactful. And then how God closed the waters, destroyed their enemies, how he led them by a pillar of fire, and how he miraculously sprung water from a rock to give them drink, and how he rained down manna from heaven miraculously to feed them. So miracle after miracle after miracle. And then what does St. Paul, as he's summarizing the story, say? God was not pleased with most of them. He was not pleased. They all saw these things, which should have led to what? If you have a miracle after miracle and deliverance after deliverance happening to you in your life, what should that lead to? Probably recognizing and receiving God's gifts, right? And responding in kind. But they grumbled. And in Psalm 106, we hear what? Psalm 106 says, they soon forgot what God had done for them, and they turned to their selfish cravings. They soon forgot what God had done for them. And once they forget, then what? Sin, chaos, destruction enter into their lives. So what an incredible message for us, that the importance of remembering and recognizing God's gifts, what God has done. Recognizing and remembering, that should trigger something in your mind right now about the stewardship way of life. How do we define stewardship? The recognizing and receiving of God's gifts and sharing these gifts in love of God and neighbor. So stewardship is a grateful response of a disciple who recognizes and receives God's gifts. They ceased responding generously to God because they forgot the good deeds, the wonderful deeds, the miraculous deeds that God had done. And so gratitude and remembering are at the heart of discipleship. And in fact, when it comes to gratitude and its opposite, St. Ignatius of Loyola says, ingratitude is the greatest of all sins. He says it's the most abominable. The cause, beginning, and origin of all sins and misfortunes. Because what happens with ingratitude? I completely disconnect the good from its source. And so then anything goes. I become my own God and determine my own right and wrong. So that's why he can say ingratitude is so destructive. And we see it played out with the Israelites. They ceased remembering, they ceased being grateful, and they separated themselves from God. So what is the call for us? Well, to be more grateful, of course, because that gratefulness is going to be result in a very full, generous living out of our discipleship. However, it can't be just this gratefulness and remembering that's on the, just more of on a superficial level. I'm so thankful that we had snow last week. It was so beautiful. Okay, I'm so thankful for this food. You know, we can. I'm kind of being silly here, but our gratitude can be kind of superficial. You know, what do you say? Thank you. Right? You tell your kids that. Our gratitude has to go much deeper than that. Our gratitude has to be rooted in the source of all good gifts, and that is God. In particular, God's greatest gift to us in his Son, Jesus Christ. You know, it's just like, think about this in an analogous way compared to the gratitude that we're called to. Parents pour out themselves for their children, give them all kinds of good gifts, right? And the kids can recognize and receive these gifts at two different levels. At one level, they can recognize and receive them in the sense of, okay, you know, my mom and dad, they gave me this sweet coat. They pay, you know, they practice the stewardship way of life so I can go to school. They work hard so there's food on the table. I can just appreciate the gifts in themselves because they're good, right? They supply for my needs. And that makes me happy. But what does it mean to go deeper? To go deeper is to say, my parents give me these gifts. I have all these good gifts. And they came from my parents who made huge sacrifices out of love for me. And these are expressions of their love. You see how that takes the gifts and goes way deeper, right? Because I can just be enmeshed in the gift itself, or I can take the gift and let it lead me to the giver. And when it does that, then I'm led into the fountain of love, which is the source of those gifts. And so that's the same thing with us as Christians. It's not a matter of just recognizing the beauty of creation and the comforts that we have been given, but it's to let the gifts lead back to the love of the giver, the source, the fountain of all life. And more than that, to go back to the greatest of all gifts given to us, who is Christ, in his sacrifice on the cross. And for us, remembering what God has done in Christ as the source and the foundation and the reference point of everything else that is good is a celebration that we take on every single Sunday, because that's what the Mass is. It is a holy remembering of God's greatest work. And it's not just a recalling of something that happened in the past. This special recalling through the sacramental system makes present what happened in the past. So at this altar, we don't just say that we are remembering what the Lord did on the night before he was betrayed. We're This is a remembering that makes the past present. In fact, that the same Christ that offered himself on the cross and at the Last Supper some 2,000 years ago is the same sacrifice that will happen here in about 2 hours after I finish preaching. Okay. And you think that that is a difficult saying? You think, does that sound challenging? If it doesn't, we're not getting it. Because when Jesus revealed that in John 6, what happened with most of the disciples? They left him. So if this sounds incredible, this sounds challenging, then you're on the right track. And so we have a holy remembering of God's most incredible gift in his Son that's made present and given to us at every Mass. And so once we recognize and receive that, what happens? Gratitude spontaneously bubbles up inside of us. And using Jesus himself as a model, who lived in the gift of his Father, because everything dark is happening to him. The night before he was about to die, even those closest to him were going to be the ones who abandoned him and turned him over, right? And so what do we hear? He grumbled and complained and was frustrated with the Heavenly Father because things did not go as he had planned. No, we hear that he took bread, said the blessing, then what did he do? He gave thanks. He gave thanks when he was on the verge of being crucified. And then he said what? Do this in remembrance of me. This is my body, which is for you. So in the midst of the darkest of moments, rooted in the love of his Father, he lives in gratitude and gives his life for us and then gives us a commandment to do this in memory of him. That's the reason that we come to Mass every Sunday, to get connected to that saving, loving truth that is made present for us at the Holy Sacrifice. And when we separate ourselves from this loving event, we separate ourselves from the source of all goodness. And then our gratitude becomes superficial. And brothers and sisters, when our gratitude becomes superficial, we soon forget the good works of the Lord, and we turn to our selfish ways.